Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
This week, we're going to be a little self-indulgent, briefly talk about our own golf swings. Tyson's going to kind of interview us about then how we practice it, because I think I consider myself to be a fairly good practicer. Jason, I think you would consider yourself to be a fairly good practicer. So we're going to talk about that because a lot of golfers don't know how to practice. They don't know what they need to do when they practice. And a lot of golfers think, oh, I need to practice like 3 hours a day. But I think you'll find through this conversation that Jason and I can get more out of like 15 minutes a day of practice than a lot of people get out of hitting a large bucket of balls or two large buckets of balls at the range every day. Jason, you want to tell us about your golf swing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I do work on my swing. Obviously, the time that I put in is limited, so I got to be really smart about it. Now, the big things that I want to work on in my swing, one is actually my body. It's pretty riddled from injuries, so I got to work on that. Then, if I'm talking about just the swing in general, the biggest thing that drives me crazy is that I don't get my club up soon enough. And so then as it goes around me, it'll get a little bit across the line. And then if I don't reroute it from there, it can run into some issues where not like necessarily like crazy steep, but it's coming down. And then the face is actually a little bit too close. So then my miss is that I will stand up the handle as I start coming down through impact that pulls the club towards me. And I'll have like a poor toe strike weak out to the right. Drives me absolutely bonkers. My feels, as crazy as they sound, is that so if we had a clock and if 12 o'clock was the target, I feel like my hands and my arms only go to about 5 o'clock on that clock face. So they're like really feeling, you know, in front of me almost, maybe would be a better saying. And then I watch that on my camera and it's like, wow, those are a pretty good spot. I like that. You know what I mean? And then of course it's like, can I bring that to the course is always the next step.
Yeah, and what I work on in my golf swing is I tend to palmar flex my left wrist, arch or bow my left wrist too much, which shuts the face. I used to overbend my right elbow with a shut face. When I would swing too long, most people will cup or extend their left wrist. I would arch it and get a little bit too long. And then from there, I would have to try to pitch out of there and extend my right arm because it was overbent in the backswing. So it would have to come out fast, which would shove the club steep and across a little bit with a closed face. So the bad shots when I wasn't managing it much at all would start left and go left. But I was generally pretty good. I had a low rate of closure, which, you know, but I had to stand the shaft up and the lie angle of the club would leave the face out to the right a little bit. So they would look like draws, but they'd be toe heavy and toward the toe a little bit. And so what I have to do, as crazy as it sounds, I have to feel like I do the opposite of the pro sender. I have to feel like I arch my right wrist the entire backswing. Doesn't actually happen. It just feels like I have to arch my right wrist, cup my left wrist during the backswing. I'm a righty. Okay. And then I have to feel like I throw the back of the club head 45 degrees away from me and away from the ball behind me during the downswing. Crazy feels that are super extreme. And even when I feel like I'm doing them, I feel like the ball is going to go 45 degrees to the right, go straight. Still freaks me out to this day. I've done it thousands of times and it still feels like the ball is going to go 45 degrees to the right because the face feels open. But my wrists work properly from there as long as I don't physically like hold them off or anything like that. And the shots work out really well.
So I think what I want to do is ask both of you sort of in your own particular things that you're working on, you know, do you feel like, Jason, I'll start with you, when you see a player who comes in that has those same tendencies that you have in your swing, do you feel like that gives you ammunition and helps you, you know, help that player a little bit quicker? You sort of know what that player is feeling like and can sort of guide that player to the fix maybe a little bit quicker because you deal with the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as coaches, you've seen a lot of swings, right? And you know, it's funny, in some of my videos online, I'm trying to reproduce some bad swings, right? And you're like, okay, how does that person get there? And you go through the, okay, they're doing this, they're doing that. Okay, this is what they're doing. So we need the opposite of that, right? Now, obviously everyone has baked in motions, right? So
Let me interrupt you there for a second, actually, because I think that's something that coaches do that amateurs could do as well. When we get a weird player, what I think you were saying, not to put words in your mouth and correct me if I'm wrong, but when we get a player that's doing something that we haven't seen much of before, or something like that, we will... And sometimes you could do it just in your head, but sometimes we actually take a club and like move the way they move to see what they might be feeling and to say like, okay, you probably feel like your wrists do this or your forearms do this or your knee does this or whatever. So we actually mimic their swing and see what they do and see what the change would then feel like. And I feel like amateur golfers could do their swing, and then do an exaggerated version of the thing they're trying to do to see what that feels like, to really slow motion it, just as we don't have a feel for what that amateur is doing. An amateur could make a better swing, you know, mimicking John Rahm or Sergio Garcia or whoever does a move that they're trying to do to see what that feels like. Is that about kind of like what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. You know, we've chatted about this before. It's like, what's the model? What swing do you want? Right. And you look at someone else's swing and you're like, okay, I like how that looks. That may not be the model that you need to look at. You know what I mean? Like you literally just spit out. It's like, okay, if you're doing this, you might need to feel like you're doing, you know, Matt Wolf. And I would say that they're like, I give this drill all the time for people that are, you know, roll to the inside, right? Get across and then do that way. I'm like, all right, for at least 10 swings when you're out of the range, I want you to feel like you're Matt Wolf. And I want you to send me that drill of you doing that motion, right? And there are some that are like, actually can do it. I'm like, okay, that's awesome.
That's like
2%. Let's back off that just a bit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not a lot. But yeah. That's like, hey, that's a great way of you. And again, it's just a drill. I don't care where the ball goes inside the drill. You just need to grasp some of that feel. And so going back to Tyson's, you know, question there, it's like first things first is always concept, right? And I would say, oh man, it might have been like 5 or 6 years ago. It was awesome. I felt bad. I missed the episode. But when I started watching the AMG guys and reading into gears and stuff like that, it was like the concept of where do the arms go in the golf swing, right? And it was like, wow. Because, I mean, you just watch golfers and you go like, okay, clearly the arms go around the body. And all of a sudden you show people, you go, okay, just pick your arms up sort of in front of you. Okay, just keep it there. All right, now turn and rotate. They turn and rotate. And then you go, all right, look at the camera, you know, or the monitor or whatever. And you go, how's that look? And they go, I can't believe that's where I am. Like, that can't be right. I'm like, it's running in real time. That's the feel you need. I know it's crazy and I know it's going to be hard, but yeah, you need to feel that, right? And so.
Yeah, there's the old school thing of like, just put the club on your right shoulder. If you're ready, turn and then push the club away from you. The club never went around you. And yet you look in the mirror and you're like, holy crap, that's a good golf swing.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can't believe it. You're right.
Yeah, they're always shocked. They never believe it. That's why we need the video. And so that's going to be sort of another question here in a second. But Eric, what about you with your wrist action that you exaggerate? Do you feel like, number one, how often do you see players who come into your studio that make that move? Sort of, it is similar to you. Is that a common thing or is that more of a rare one?
It's fairly rare. Although I had two guys like on two separate days about a year ago that when they took the club back, they immediately folded their right wrist back and the club face at P2 was almost below horizontal. Okay. And they're like, yeah, I just hooked the ball. I don't know why. I think I have a clue.
I think I got an idea.
So like, it's funny because I mean, they didn't do it the way I did it because they like,
right,
immediately folded the wrist back and I would wait till near the top. So it wasn't the same as my swing exactly, but they had to feel like they hinged and rolled the face open. They had to feel like, you know, they just made the toe flop open. They felt like they were hitting like flop shots immediately during the backswing because their problem was like P1 to P2. My stuff tends to be like later up. How often? No, women and kids tend to add palm reflection very early. Women hit a lot of hooks and draws because that move, if you fold your right wrist back and palm reflex your left wrist, the club moves back, right? Now it's around you and it's shut and it's too shallow a little bit on the backswing, but it's around you. But they feel like that moves the clubs, you know, because they're weaker or something like that. And they feel like that's how they have to do it. And they need to learn to move it more with their body at first and then just hinge it up. One of the things that I think people watching me practice is they'll be amazed at like how many times I'll rehearse it.
Yeah.
How extreme I make it look. Like I'll have the club face like literally pointing almost to the ground at the top because I've opened it so much. And, you know, I'll hit some bad shots and some weird shots, but I'm like swinging slowly and I'm exaggerating and I'm doing a bunch of stuff. And they'll be like, dude, you suck. Like, what are you doing? I'll be like, okay, fine. I'll just hit one. And so I just hit one. I like to embrace being exaggerated when I practice, and they've gotten used to seeing me practice nowadays, so nobody really says that much anymore. but exaggeration is a big part of my favorite students are the ones that aren't afraid to exaggerate and go to the other side of the problem.
Yeah,
almost right away.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by the Stack System. If you're looking to hit the ball further, wedge it closer, and make more putts, they've got you covered. Dr. Sasha McKenzie and the VP of Fitting and Performance, Marty Jerkson at Ping, have built an amazing AI-driven app to help you with all those parts of your game. Use code SPINAXIS to get 10% off your order. They just released their very own Raider device, which is as good as a $3,000 launch monitor to get ball speeds and carry numbers so you can track how much further you're hitting your drives and to dial in those wedge distances. The Stack is being used by many top pros, and you should be using it also.
You know, so we're sitting here and we're having this discussion with two scratch golfers plus handicap golfers, and you guys are talking about just how big of exaggerations you will make when you are working on your golf swing. And you know, how often are you, Jason, when you're online lessons, in-person lessons, you know, what are the keys for these players to change their move? Obviously, I think exaggeration would be one of them. What are a couple other keys for them to really change their moves?
I mean, it depends a little bit of how deeply ingrained it is. Like if you got someone that's made the same move for a long time, I actually get them to start from their pre-shot routine, right? So if you imagine your swing is baked in real hard, it's a habit, right? Just like smoking, right? If you're someone that smoked, this is gonna stick with you right away. When you walked outside your work, or if you got into your car, boom, trigger, right? It's time to smoke, right? That's the same thing with hitting a golf shot. When you walk into the golf shot the same way that you have done for 20 years, your brain is hardwired to make that same move. So you need to change it. I'll get people to add in like a foot tap, or, you know, how you walk into the ball differently, or you look at the target, then look back at the ball and go. That itself is going to feel weird, which is good because that's now going to trigger a new movement pattern. And so if we're really changing a big pattern, you need to start from there. And that needs to happen. You need to practice your pre-shot routine into your exaggeration feels so that it all starts becoming one. Too many people are just like hit ball, hit ball, hit ball, hit ball. They're not even looking at the target. You're not walking into the shot. That's not golf. Why are you practicing like that?
Yeah, love that. Like, Eric, let me ask you this. Like, so let's say you have a player who's getting ready to play in an event. So we're talking about exaggerating the moves, right, to really change the pattern. How would you personally, as you're working on this, like leading up to the event, are you exaggerating those moves literally the day before? Or is it a week before? And then you go play? Like, talk on that a little bit from a player perspective.
I'm a bit different. I'm exaggerating the crap out of stuff all the time.
Okay.
We're trying to,
yep.
You know, because I feel like if I can do it slowly and exaggerate it right there, then if I have 20% of it during the swing, I'm going to be okay. I do generally advise people, I've talked about it on previous podcasts, that when they're practicing and playing, not necessarily in a tournament, but when they're practicing and playing, that they go have a little practice session off to the side every two or three holes.
Yeah.
That's where you exaggerate, right? I don't mind little rehearsals to load the feel into your body and then hit the ball. That would be a little bit more. We see PGA Tour players do it during a tournament.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see Justin Rose do his thing. You'll see Alex Noren do his thing. You see Justin Rose practice his little takeaway, Justin Thomas practice his takeaway thing. So we see PGA Tour players rehearsing a feel in a tournament. You've seen guys like feel like they swing left. Tiger was doing it 5 years ago when he won the Masters, or just before that. Everyone's a little bit different as far as like what they do to like do the process, and so that they can still have the mindset to hit a golf shot that counts and matters in a tournament. I've always tended to be toward the extreme side because I've done it enough times that I know I can trust it. And so I feel like I can't overdo it much in a tournament because it's always going to be less than you think. As soon as you go faster at tournament speed, at golf speed, it's always going to be less. So if my rehearsal can be exaggerated, it's never going to be quite that much during an actual swing.
Yeah, love that. And like, Jason, what would you say is one piece of feedback for somebody at home who's trying to make, you know, this swing change and exaggerate it and make sure that they're actually exaggerating it and not just feel like they're exaggerating it? Like, what's the biggest piece of feedback that you'll tell your players they have to be doing or using?
Well, if you're doing it really slowly, one of my favorite things to do is to either Zoom or FaceTime yourself And you can just lay down an iPad. Most people have a second piece of, you know, electronics that you can lay down just sort of out of the way. I don't want you to hit it and break it, but you can put it down right near where the ball is. And I would use a foam ball or just a balled up piece of paper and not even white. I'd get like a purple piece of paper, right? We want to remove some amount of pressure. And then I would watch myself make those moves. Again, I would want it to be so extreme that you're like, wow, there's no way I can make a golf swing like this. And then do that at, you know, 1% speed, 5% speed, still around 10% speed. You can probably watch the iPad and make all those moves. And then after you've done two or three of those, then pull in a foam ball or a real ball and then try to keep the same feels, record that at 75% speed. Again, it doesn't need to be at full speed at the beginning. How much of that did it transfer over? And that'll be a really good, like, oh my God, is it actually moving over, right? And if it's not, then you go, oh, I need more extreme.
Yeah, and I tell my students to practice at the edge of their ability. I do not, like, for the longest time, I should change my grading scale, but even with tour players and stuff, I said F is wherever you're starting. Like, you get an F for that right now. Whatever, even if it's really good, you get an F for that. And then, like, I don't need A plus swings from people all the time. If you're able to make A plus swings all the time, you're going too slowly. You need to make small mistakes that you can then fix. So I like B plus A minus type swings. Swings that are better, right? Swings that maybe you overdid it a little bit too much. Make B plus and A minus swings. That way you have something to change and fix and tweak a little bit with every swing. If you make A plus swings every time, you're going too slowly. Now, most people go too fast all the time and they make a bunch of D minus swings. That's gonna be a long time to change it if you constantly make D plus swings. I like to make bigger steps, but you don't have to make them as quickly. And then slowly build up the speed, okay? I will practice for 20 minutes at a time, 15 minutes at a time, and I might hit 15 golf balls. But I'll get more out of those 15 golf balls with 7 rehearsals each or something like that than people get out of a bucket and a half of golf balls at the range, right? They hit them in 40 minutes somehow. They hit 130 golf balls in 40 minutes. and I have hit 15 in 15 minutes.
Yeah, and I would say, when I did my big chunk of like changing my swing, and I mean, I still got a lot of work to do, but for 6 months, I would, in between like a video uploading, I would go, all right, I'm going to make 3 golf swings. And I would make one extreme practice swing, right? Then I would hit a foam ball at like 10% speed. And then I wouldn't hit an actual ball over 50% speed for about 6 months, right? That's a long time. Hit 3 golf balls every 20 minutes. You know what I mean? Like just slow down to speed up later to grain those habits.
I think there's a lot of gold there in those last couple of minutes of this discussion. I think two pieces stand out to me, right? Like, I think we need video, some sort of video, right, for the feedback, because you're never going to...
Or mirrors,
100%. Mirrors are great. I mean, I used to use sliding glass door, right? I could see my reflection in the window. You need some sort of feedback, because it's never going to look like what it feels like. And if you don't have that feedback, you're not going to trust that you're actually moving the needle as far as you actually need to. And then a lot of slow reps. It's not a bunch of just smashing golf balls. It's slow reps, really, really ingraining and exaggerating those moves with feedback. That's how you eventually get to change a pattern.
All right. Yeah, I agree.
Awesome. Well, another great episode, guys. Truly appreciate it. Big thanks to Eric and Jason for all of that information. If you laughed, learned, or just killed some time during your range session, do us a favor. Smash the subscribe button.
Smash it.
Send this episode to your golf group chat, because you know those fellas need it.
Yeah, and remember, you can always find us on all social medias at The Spin Axis, and you can find us online at thespinaxis.com.
Slow down.